ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करम् तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः See, in understanding Aham Brahma Asmi, understanding of epistemology also will be useful. Actually, epistemology is a discipline where the process of knowing is understood. In deep sleep state, there is no knowledge of the external world. There is no knowledge of anything, any object which is part of this world. There is no knowledge of the details of the objects, any object, because there is no knowledge of the very existence of the object. There is no knowledge of the very existence of the world in deep sleep state. So where is the question of having the knowledge of the details of the object? You must know that there is a tree. Then you can understand, know more about the tree. What is this tree? What is the name of the tree? Why the leaves are like this? What are the flowers? Whether the flowers are fragrant or not? And what are the fruits we can get from here? Is it edible or not? And how tasty it is? Like this, again, lots of details. Whether it's a general plant physiology, plant anatomy, etc., like that, detailed, and more, any amount of detailed knowledge of an object is possible only first of all, you have the knowledge of the very existence of the object, isn't it? There's a tree, like that. So, knowledge of the very existence and thereby knowledge of the details of a given object. For any knowledge is possible only in the waking state. Because knowledge of the existence of the object itself is not possible in deep sleep state. Why? Because that knowledge of the existence of an object or existence of the world or knowledge of details of any object also is possible only when there is knowledge of the very existence of the knower in terms of I am, isn't it? We call it knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am. This I am itself is what? When you say I am, it's expression which is expression of manifestation of knowledge of existence of one's own self, which is knowledge of the existence of the self. And this, when this knowledge is, it is waking state. Whenever this knowledge of the existence of the self, obtaining of thought in terms of I am is resolved, it is a deep sleep state. And the deep sleep state is also said to be what? No, a state of ignorance. Total ignorance. Now, therefore, only in the waking state, knowledge of an object is possible. Knowledge of the world is possible. Now, when you say the knowledge happens, there is a tree. Vrikshaha asti. This knowledge, how does it take place? In fact, effortlessly, easily, the knowledge of objects continuously is taking place, okay, in an antahkaranam. Simultaneously, not just so many things are happening also. See, now this light here, the presence of light, so many opaque things shine. If we pay attention to that object, we say it is there. So in the presence of light, this murti shines, that murti shines, this wall shines, the picture shine, colors shine, tree shines, everything simultaneously shines. And because we don't pay attention to any of these things, they're shining, but we don't pay attention. Simultaneously shine, everything shines. Similarly here, in our, which means there is knowledge of objects. And how does this knowledge take place? What do we mean by saying knowing? Of course, we have differentiated as Swarupa Jnanam and Vritti Jnanam. When I say Swarupa Jnanam, it is very reality which is of the nature of knowing. Is said to be Swarupa Jnanam. Actually, Jnanam, Chaitanyam, Chit. And you say, it is just knowledge. Or consciousness, we say. In fact, reality is implied by this term Jnanam. Why? Because reality is of the nature of knowing. Because it is of the nature of knowing, knowing is its swarupam. To distinguish it, we say what? Swarupa Jnanam. To distinguish it from the knowledge which arises. We use the adjective swarupam. So Swarupa Jnanam is a source of knowledge, which is of the nature of knowledge, knowing. Whereas Vritti Jnanam is knowledge which arises in the home of a thought. Knowledge which arises in the form of a thought is a what? Is Vritti Jnanam. And the reality which is source of this rising knowledge is said to be Swarupa Jnanam. We need not use the adjective swarupam at all, but we are using the adjective swarupam to distinguish it from the rising knowledge. Swarupa Jnanam, Vritti Jnanam. Why if it is a swarupa jnanam? There, the knowing is not an action on the part of the reality. Knowing is not an action on the part of reality, it's very nature. By its mere presence, it knows. Reality knows. Okay? And without saying, I am knowing, it knows. It light. There's no eyes in the part of light. Light doesn't say, I am knowing. I am illumining. It illumines by its mere presence. Similarly, reality, by its mere presence, illumines everything, knows everything. And knowing is illumining. Please understand, knowing is illumining. Knowing is bringing an object to light. Knowing is lending existence. Therefore, knowing is, knowing is illumining. That's why we say knowledge is the absolute light. Knowledge is said to be absolute light. light is not knowledge, but every knowledge is light. Why? Because knowledge illumines. Knowing is illumining. And here, knowing is not an action, it is very swarupam. That's fine. But now, when we say there is a tree, there is a world, etc., this is actually a function of knowing. Isn't it? Function of knowing. We can say act of knowing also. So this knowledge, how does it take place? This process of knowing is discussed as a discipline of epistemology. Of course, many other facts are involved there. And the antahkaranam is said to be the instrument of knowing. Now, sense organs are said to be bahya karanani, external instruments of knowledge, or five sense organs. Bahya karanani. And the internal instrument of knowledge is antahkaranam, which is otherwise said to be mind. Antahkaranam and bahya karanani, all of them are involved in this process of knowing an object. Antahkaranam and bahya karanani, all of them are involved in this process of knowing. That is why they are said to be instruments of knowledge. Karanam itself means instrument. Now, this antahkaranani, the antahkaranam and bahyakaranani, what are they? Are they conscious or sentient, if you ask? All the five powers are inert in nature. Antahkaranam also is inert in nature. How do you say antahkaranam is inert, of the nature of inertness? We have understood in the very basic text, Tattva Bodha itself, when we understood what is this body made of, what is our sense organs made of, what are our powers of organs of actions made of, what is our mind made of, what are pranas made of. The sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, and even the karana shariram, all are inert matter of the nature of inertness. Definitely we know the pancha bhutani, we know. So tamasic aspect of elements alone, actually got combined, and the physical body is a product of tamasic aspect of the elements. Do you remember that now? Tattva Bodha, I have to remember. I'm not going into the details now. I'm just telling, reminding you, definitely the entire physical body is only the modified form of combination of tamasic aspect of elements. That is why it is natural for us to be very lazy and idle also. And then it is basically it's a tamasic product. Elemental, but tamasic, product it is. Product of tamasic aspect of the elements. That is why in Shastram it is said, for a person to discover one's own self being absolutely nirgunaha, one who is free from all attributes. To discover the fact of the self being attributeless, one have to become predominantly sattvic. For a person to become predominantly sattvic, one has to become rajasic first. Isn't it? Predominantly rajasic. And from being predominantly tamasic, one has to become predominantly rajasic first, Thereby one has to become sattvic to discover finally attributelessness. That is why to convert a person from being predominantly tamasic into rajasic, the very grihastha ashramaha is there. But you have to do lot of activities. So, in fact, the whole way of life designed in the Vedic culture is for our well-being. One has to be very active. To become later on, to slow down later on. First you are very lethargic and become very active, then gradually slow down, then discover. That's why young people should not be sitting without doing anything. Very bad and very wrong. Okay, that's a different topic. I'm not going to enter into that point. But what I want to say here, the physical body itself, you know, is a product of tamasic aspect of the elements, and our organs of action, subtle powers of organs of actions and physiological functions, they are all the products of rajasic aspect of the elements. I'm sure you remember. And the sense powers, these instruments of knowledge and antahkaranam, the internal instrument of knowledge antahkaranam, and bahya karanani, five of them, all of them are, products of sattvic aspect of elements. Anyway, they're all elementals only. What I want to say here, antahkaranam also is an elemental product. So, elemental means what? Sattvic aspect of the elements. But still it is material in nature. The antahkaranam also is what now? Of the nature of inertness. But now this antahkaranam, how can this antahkaranam become an instrument of knowledge when it is of the nature of inertness? This antahkaranam is a very unique instrument. It is very subtle, even though it is material in nature. It is very, very subtle. It is capable of functioning as manifesting medium for the reality. Antahkaranam is capable of functioning as manifesting medium. Antahkaranam itself enjoys existence only in the presence of the reality. Antahkaranam has no independent existence of its own. It is mithya. But still, antahkaranam, even though it is dependent on the reality for its existence, antahkaranam serves as a manifesting medium for reality. Which means, the reality, even though it's a truth of everything, lends existence to the very antahkaranam. This reality also is dependent on this antahkaranam for its manifestation. So reality is not dependent on antahkaranam for its existence, but reality is dependent on antahkaranam for its manifestation. Is it clear? Okay. So lending existence for antahkaranam, reality uses the antahkaranam as the manifesting medium. Use means there's no, I'm not saying, it is there. Okay, now we'll understand here. Therefore, in this process of knowing, definitely the two aspects are involved. They explained to you when I did Kena Bhashyam. The two aspects involved in knowing. So, cognition involves two factors. There must be vrittihi and there must be manifest knowledge. Manifestation of knowledge and the vrittihi. So what do we mean by vrittihi? the rising of a thought, the thought which rises from the mind, is called vrittihi. மனதிலிருந்து எழுகின்ற எண்ணத்திற்கு பெயர் விருத்திகி. தி தாட் விச் ரைசஸ் இன் தி மைண்ட் இஸ் கால்டு விருத்திகி. த விருத்திகி இஸ் ஆல்சோ நோன் பை அனதர் எக்ஸ்பிரஷன் பிரத்யய. பிரத்யய விருத்திகி. பிரத்யய இஸ் அ மாஸ்குலின் ஜெண்டர் வேர்ட், விருத்திகி இஸ் அ ஃபெமினின் ஜெண்டர் வேர்ட். பிரத்யயஹ so when there is manifestation of knowledge of existence of self in terms of I am, then the vrittis rise, other vrittis. The vrittis, then all the sense powers also become functional. The seeing power is functional, hearing power is functional, power of smelling is functional, power of knowing is functional. All the powers are functional, which means each power is backed by its corresponding vritti. The vritti rises. But you have to remember the fact that whether the mind is functional, with the functional, thereby mind is of many thoughts, or mind is non-functional and resolved, a thought without any thoughts. No, mind has different conditions, isn't it? There's a deep sleep state, mind is totally resolved. Resolved, mind is not absent, it is resolved. Mind is present, but is resolved. Resolved means what? All the thoughts are resolved. Thoughts are not there. The thoughts are resolved, then we call it deep sleep state of the mind. Inactive, passive mind. When the mind is functional, thoughts are there. Then active mind. So active mind, passive mind, functional mind, non-functional mind, mind must be present. Only then a person is said to be alive. Suppose non-functional mind must be present, then we call it that person is asleep. The mind is absent means, the mind has left means, the person is dead. When the mind is non-functional, when the mind is absent in a given human body, then that body is a dead body. The mind is present, that body is alive. If the mind is non-functional, body is alive, but still body is as good as dead. Isn't it true? When the mind is functional and active, then body is alive. Is it clear? Therefore, for the physical body itself to be alive, active, mind must be present, first of all. That's why sukshma, we say. Mind is the main subtle aspect. So whether the thoughts rise, mind is functional, or non-functional with the thoughts, still mind being inseparably close, of course everything is close to Atma. And here, mind is capable of manifesting consciousness. Therefore, mind is ever conscious. The non-functional, inactive, passive mind also is conscious. Functional, active mind with thoughts are also conscious. It's also conscious. So inert, even though mind is material, Mind is by itself of the nature of inertness. Mind is ever conscious instrument of knowledge. Ever conscious. Sentient. Mind is not consciousness, okay? Mind is conscious, sentient, because of its capacity to manifest consciousness. Because it's very subtle, being a sattvic product, is capable of manifesting consciousness. Therefore, even the resolved mind without thoughts also is what? Shines. That is why in deep sleep state, you are able to say, the mind is non-functional, inactive, passive, no thoughts are there. You know, you understand that. It's known to you, isn't it? And the mind is functional also, active also, whatever thoughts are there, still mind is known to you. The thoughts are known. Which means, just as in the presence of sunlight, you know, whatever is the light illumines. Suppose if you walk into the light, light illumines your presence. You walk out of the light, still light illumines what? Your absence, physical absence, isn't it? So whatever is, now we are all here in this room, light illumines our presence. And after the class, we all get up and go away. Still, light will illumine the absence of people here. So, light illumines whatever is there. Why? Illumining is its nature. Similarly, here the reality, the all-pervasive reality, which is of the nature of knowing, knows whatever is. Thoughts are thoughtless, inactive, passive mind also is known. Okay, illumined. Known means illumined. And a thoughtful mind, the mind which is very various thoughts of the mind also, functional mind also is illumined. Known. That is why when you say I am, it is known. And I am is not, then also is known. Presence is known, absence is known. Now, when this knowledge takes place, so rising of vrittihi, rising of a thought, the thought which has risen from the mind, we say it is a vrittihi. So thought is vrittihi. Vrittihi pratyaha is nothing but a thought. So the thought by itself is what? Of the nature of inertness. So it cannot by itself be an instrument of knowledge, isn't it? And when the thought rises, what happens? There is always consciousness. When thought is resolved, resolved thought is resolved mind, which is illumined. The thought rises, is illumined. The illumined thought is what? Conscious thought. What's the conscious thought? The thought which rises, which shines in the presence of consciousness, is what now? Pervaded by consciousness, isn't it? And we say, when thought rises alone, and the thought shines, consciousness is manifest. When the thought is not there, still consciousness is, but consciousness is not recognizable. So we say, thought serves as a manifesting medium for consciousness. Let me tell you again. Suppose now, look at here, if I say, of course you see, the light is, how is the light here? Light is one uniform, isn't it? Light is one. Light is indivisible. Light is partless. Light is one whole. The uniform. light is now. Now I bring my hand like this in the light and move my hand, or I move the specks here like this, I move something color like this, then the movement of my hand then helps you see what. How do you see this? My, before I said, do you see the light? You are seeing the light, but still you may not pay attention. But now when my hand moves like this, how do you see my hand movement? Because of the light. Now this movement of my hand serves as manifesting medium for the light. Which means you understand, oh, light is. Is it clear now? Similarly, the light consciousness being one uniform, subtlest reality, it is not recognizable, accessible. The presence of thought, consciousness is available for recognition. Is it clear? Therefore, when the thought rises, thought is known. The thought is resolved, resolved thought also is known. The mind is functional, it is known. Mind being non-functional also it is known. That's why waking state experience is known. Deep sleep state experience also is known. Which means mind is it clear now? Therefore we say, every time the thought always rises means, along with the thought, what is inseparably there is consciousness. Is it clear? And really speaking, the thought, when it rises, consciousness is manifest. The thought resolves, same consciousness continues to be there. It is non-recognizable. Is it clear or not? Very important. Now, this thought when the thought rises in consciousness, we call it cognition. Thought rises is called cognition. So, every cognition, any knowledge involves these two factors. Vritti aspect and the consciousness in the presence of which the vritti shines, is given the different name, manifest consciousness. Actually, there is no such thing called manifest consciousness also. Understand? Suppose now you see in the ground just the light, and you put a colorful cloth, then that colorful cloth becomes what? Reflecting medium for the light. Understand? Light is the same light. There is no reflected light or a pure light. Just the light is. In the absence of everything, light alone is, we call it a pure light. When something comes in the light, and the light brings that by its mere presence, by its nature, it illumines something, we call that then what? Reflected light. Now please tell, please understand very clearly, are there two lights? Is something called reflected light and a pure light? Very subtle teaching. Okay, now what I want to say, are there two lights as reflected light and pure light? No. There's only one light. When do you give adjective to the light as reflected light? In the presence of something, the color or an object which shines in the presence of light, the same light is given the qualification reflected light. And the object which shines in the light itself is said to be reflection of the light. Reflecting medium is said to be the reflection of the light. Now, there is no pure light. It's all relative expressions. There's only just the light. Similarly, there is reality, and which is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, there's just the knowledge. There's no pure knowledge or manifest knowledge. In the presence of thought, reality is what's said to be manifest knowledge. In the absence of thought, we say pure knowledge. We don't have there's not two factors as pure knowledge and manifest knowledge. There's just the knowledge. In the presence of thought, knowledge is said to be manifest knowledge. In the absence of thought, knowledge is said to be pure knowledge. When knowledge is, the thought is not there, knowledge is non-recognizable. When the thought is, knowledge is recognizable. That is why we say, knowledge, reality as knowledge is dependent on the thought for its manifestation. Is it clear? Therefore, any cognition, any knowledge involves definitely two factors. Now let me come to the point. Now, tree is, knowledge has to take place. How does this vrikshajnanam take place? There is tree. This knowledge, how does it happen? Shastram says, the twofold process involved here. Even the twofold process we involved is simultaneous. Simultaneously, there are two processes happening. One is the thought rises first. And the thought, just the rising of thought is not enough for the knowledge of an object. Thought is dependent on what? The sense power. Thought rises and the sense power becomes functional, active. And it's all simultaneous, okay? But the sense power becomes functional, active, and through the sense power, thought sees that object called tree is there, and through the sense power, this thought pervades the. Through the sense power, thought pervades the external object. How? What is seen externally? What is seen externally is pervaded by the thought through the sense organ. Without the sense organ, thought cannot pervade the external object. When I say pervade, means the thought assumes the form of an object. Through the sense organ, thought pervades the object and assumes the form of an object. Now, there's externally one tree. In the mind also you have another tree. In the mind, what to have is ghat, thought. Now, outside there's a vriksha. In the mind you have vriksha. What is vriksha? Vriksha vrittihi. When you say thought pervades the object, it is not that thought does not pervade the object outside. Thought assumes the object form. If there's a tree, the thought assumes the tree form, thereby pervades the object in the mind, not outside. Is it clear now? Don't think thought goes and pervades the outside. When I say thought goes through the sense organ and pervades the object, means it assumes the thought form, the object form. Vrittihi assumes the object form of an object. If there is a part, we have, outside there is a part, we should have what? Gata Vrittihi, pot thought. Outside there is a tree, inside you have tree Vrittihi. Now we have two objects, externally seen gross tree, internally seen subtle tree in the form of a thought. The thought assumes the form of an object. If there is a light, light vrittihi. Thought pervades the light and thought assumes the light form. Thought pervades the sound, thought assumes the sound form. Thought pervades the taste, thought assumes the taste form. Thought pervades the touch and thought assumes the touch form. When I say only physical form to be seen, you will think of it. Thought assumes the form of an object perceived. Understand? So, we have Ghrana Vrittihi. The Vritti through the nose, through the power of smelling, pervades the object in the form of smell, fragrance, and assumes that form. Fragrance vritti. Fragrance vritti. Sound vritti. Listen to the classical music or birds chirping. What happens now? The thought, which thought through the power of hearing pervades that object in terms of birds chirping. It assumes that form. So, vritti assumes, vritti through the given sense organ pervades that object, corresponding object, assumes that form of that object. Is it clear now? So, Ghrana Vrittihi assumes, that form of a given object. And this Vritti assuming the form, pervading the object, assuming the form of an object is said to be vritti vyaptihi. Vritti vyaptihi. What is vritti vyaptihi? The thought which through the sense organ assumes the form of an object perceived. This thought pervading the vritti, what is vritti? Vritti rises, that which rises is vritti. And from the mind. And that vritti pervading and assuming the form of that object is called vritti vyaptihi. The vritti vyapti it has taken place means, see, it very quick. I'm explaining, it is taking very long time. It's called vritti vyaptihi. It's called thought pervasion. Vritti vyaptihi, pervasion of the thought. Now we have when the vritti vyapti, the process of vritti vyaptihi takes place. We have two objects. What are they? One gross object outside and one object in the form of a thought in your mind. Is it clear now what is vritti vyaptihi? Then what happens? This vrittihi, now, which has assumed the form of an object, is also what? Illumined by the consciousness. isn't it? And a consciousness illumines only the thought. Consciousness, the reality, illumines the vritti, which is assumed the object form, or the object obtaining in the form of a thought is illumined by consciousness. Then there is knowledge, and that consciousness pervading this thought, illumining the object in the form of a thought, is called, we say, phala vyaptihi. The thought, which is assumed the form of an object, being illumined by consciousness, is said to be phala vyaptihi. Phala vyaptihi. You have heard this word phalam many times. The phalam literally in language means a fruit. But here phalam is a name given to manifest knowledge, manifest consciousness. So knowledge, what is manifest knowledge? The knowledge which illumines the thought in the presence of the thought is said to be manifest knowledge. I told you already. This manifest knowledge, the knowledge which illumines the thought assuming the object form, or the object obtaining in the form of a thought, is it to be what? Phala vyaptihi. This is pervasion of knowledge, manifest knowledge. Phala vyaptihi. And vritti vyaptihi, phala vyaptihi are twofold processes involved in cognition, in knowledge. Then there is the knowledge that the tree is. That is knowledge. Now, please understand here, if any knowledge has to take place, the twofold knowledge of any object in the world, anything, any object here, involves vritti vyaptihi and phala vyaptihi. These two processes do not happen one after the other. Simultaneous, very quick. Now the doubt comes. When I said, vrittihi rises, and when the vritti rises, sense power is functional, becomes active, sentient, and through the sense power, vritti assumes the form of an object. Isn't it? So the external object does not become conscious or sentient. External object, what is seen is jadam only. The pot is seen outside, pot is jadam. The light is seen, light is jadam. The sound is heard, the sound is jadam. In it. The smell is taste, the sweetness is taste, it is jadam. Every object externally perceived is of the nature of inertness. But the object obtaining in the form of a thought, being pervaded by thought, object pervaded by thought, obtaining in the form of a thought is what? A conscious. Is it clear now? Therefore, there is knowledge. Now, this is called jnanam. It's called vritti jnanam. When there is knowledge, there is a tree, there is a pot, this is sweet, this is bitter, this is peacock's sound. Is it clear? Now, the music is nice, except when you say the knowledge of an object is not involves these twofold factors. Is it okay? Vritti vyaptihi, phala vyaptihi. This is jnanam. Sometimes there is viparita jnanam. Viparita jnanam takes place. Now we say, for any knowledge, there must be vritti vyaptihi, followed by phala vyaptihi, which are simultaneous processes. What about the viparita jnanam? Wrong knowledge. So there is, suppose you see the snake, and you see the rope. Rope is there. Rope is an object outside. Rope is an object outside. And in a dim light, you see the rope. Then what happens, because of your, from your memory, past memory of the snake, you see the rope as what? Snake. The vritti pervades snake, what is outside is what? Rope. The vritti pervades the snake which is already in your memory, therefore there is what now? What is the object you have in your vritti? Vritti assumes the form of a snake in your mind. Vritti vyaptihi is of the snake. But actually, this is because of your previous knowledge in your memory. But what is outside is rope. Complete different object. It doesn't tally. But consciousness illumines which vritti? Snake. And what jnanam you have? What jnanam you have? Viparita jnanam. If the vritti vyapti is not of an object exactly outside, then you have what? Viparita jnanam. So whatever you have in your own memory, sometimes vritti, some connection, okay? And this manifest knowledge is also said to be reflected knowledge. People, many people, they call it pratibimbaha. They call it chit abhasaha. In the presence of thought, there is chidabhasa. In the absence of thought, there is chit. Reflection of consciousness. So Swamiji made it very clear. There's no reflection of consciousness and pure. There are two consciousnesses, okay? Just the consciousness. In the presence of vritti, we say reflection of consciousness. In the absence of vritti, just consciousness. Isn't it? Chidabhasaha. So this, when this chit abha, this consciousness, which is, no, in the presence of vritti, is said to be chidabhasa, and pervasion of chidabhasa, consciousness, is said to be phalavyapti. Is it clear? When the phalavyapti takes place, only then the knowledge is, what is that? tree is, pot is. You know, viparita jnanam also, for viparita jnanam or for any jnanam, there must be vritti vyapti. Okay, so now we can understand. For jnanam, there must be vritti vyapti first. Without vritti vyapti, there cannot be phala vyapti. Pervasion of thought of a given object must be there. Only then, no, consciousness can illumine the thought. Then knowledge is possible. Is it clear? This is vritti vyapti and phala vyapti. But for the vritti vyapti to take place, vritti is dependent on what? There must be, vritti must come in contact with the object. For the vritti to come in contact with the object, vritti, there must be means of knowledge. Be very careful here. There must be means of knowledge. Suppose without the consciousness, vritti alone is, imagine, vritti cannot even enjoy existence. Vritti will lose its status of being existent if there is no consciousness. Vritti, which doesn't even enjoy the status of existent, how can it assume the object form? Therefore, knowledge is not possible. So, conscious, without the blessing of consciousness in terms of its presence, vritti cannot even exist. Vritti cannot serve as an instrument of knowledge. Assuming the form of an object. Is it clear now? This is a very, very important point, thing you have to remember. There must be vritti vyapti, there must be phala vyapti. Without phala vyapti, knowledge is not possible. The two must happen. Without vritti, okay, there's no vritti at all. Pure knowledge is. Then also knowledge of the world is not possible. So knowledge of the world is not possible. So therefore, the vritti vyapti has to happen for phala vyapti to result in the knowledge of a given object, for which vritti has to come in contact with the object, for which vritti is dependent on what? The means of knowledge called sense organ. Is it clear? Means of knowledge called sense organ is important. Instrument of knowledge is important. For a vritti to assume the given object, form of a given object, thereby for that object obtaining in him of a thought to shine in the presence of consciousness, or if as the manifestation of consciousness, the bit for the knowledge to take place, there must be instrument of knowledge. So vritti, there is no way of vritti assuming the form of an object without the instrument of knowledge. Now, therefore, it must be very clear now, knowledge of anything to happen, the vritti must assume the form of an object, form of, okay, what is to be known. Vritti must assume the form of what is to be known. For the vritti to assume the form of what is to be known, there must be means of knowledge, isn't it? For the vritti to come in contact with that object. That is why it is said, even to know the Atma, even for Atma Jnanam, vritti must rise. Even to understand the source of knowledge. Very important vision I am telling you. Even to understand the very source of knowledge, the absolute reality, the truth of everything, the vritti must arise. Vritti must assume. And for the vritti to assume the form of an object to be known. And here, in Atma Jnanam, not an object, isn't it? The very swarupam of the vritti. Vritti has to assume the form of what is to be illumined. So vritti is dependent on what? Means of knowledge, pramanam. And for vritti to assume the form of what is to be known in terms of Atma, you need pramanam called Vedanta Shastram. Hope you understood. That is why simply I sit here in meditation, closing my eyes for ages, you can sit. Without the operation of pramanam, vritti cannot assume what is to be known. If vritti doesn't assume the form of what is to be known, consciousness can only illumine what is. Consciousness cannot illumine what it is. Even though it is self-knowledge. Okay, one more thing I tell you here, an important thing. Regarding the knowledge of any external object, you need two processes. Vritti vyaptihi, then phala vyaptihi. But Atma Jnanam is concerned, vritti vyapti alone is enough. Phala vyaptihi is not necessary. Phala vyaptihi is not required. I am sure you understood now. Why phalavyapti is not necessary? Let me tell you here. Vritti vyapti itself is enough for Atma Jnanam. For knowledge of anything in the other than Atma, you need vritti vyapti followed by phalavyapti. In fact, not followed by, simultaneously both processes happen. Whereas for self-knowledge, phalavyapti is not necessary. You know why? Because when the Vedanta Shastra Pramanam helps the Antahkaranam to come in contact with the Vastu, the vritti pervades, vritti assumes the form of that what is revealed by Vedanta Shastram. What is revealed by Vedanta Shastram is the very source of knowledge. Isn't it? The source of light, which is Swarupam of the thought. Therefore, Palavyapti is not necessary. Hope you understood. See, if there is if there is darkness, the whole house is dark. In one room, you have lit the lamp. Your puja room, there's a lamp is there. Light is there. And to see objects, you take a torchlight to going room to room to take pick up things. You use the torchlight for what? To see your inner things, isn't it? But you don't need the torchlight to see the lamp, light, puja room light. Why? The self? Effulgent. Similarly here, for anatma jnanam, you need vritti vyaptihi as well as phala vyaptihi. Whereas atma jnanam, vritti vyaptihi alone is enough. We don't need phala vyaptihi. It is very subtle. I'm sorry. It is not, but I have to tell you sometime. Don't worry, I'll be repeating it. That's my job, isn't it? I'll repeat it again 100 times until you feel bored. Or you will say, oh, very clear. Now you will not say you feel bored because you want to listen again. I know that. So, palavyaptya vina. Palavyapti is not required for atmajnanam. Now let me tell you here, what does this vritti vyapti do? What does phala vyapti do? Even though simultaneous, very quickly it happens. Now for the sake of understanding, I'm just elaborating on these things, as though it takes very long time. When the vritti pervades the object, the vritti vyapti takes place, pervasion of the thought takes place through with the help of the sense organ, the instrument of knowledge. That object is no more unknown. Until the vritti vyapti takes place, the object is as good as non-existent for you. Isn't it? Let me give an example. Here is a fruit, rambutan. Rambutan fruit is. Vritti vyapti doesn't take place. Even the sense organs are seeing. Sense organ is seeing it. Isn't it? Vritti vyapti doesn't take place. Attention is paid in, okay, the sense organ sees. Vritti vyapti doesn't take place. Object is as good as non-existent, isn't it? You may, right in front of you, he is sitting. Doctor is not there for me. Why? There's no vritti vyapti. The object is as good as non-existent as long as vritti vyapti doesn't take place. Please look at this. If I show this, please look at this. If I say, then you pay attention, said, then your vritti, through your eyes, you see this, it object is pervaded. Not outside, in the form of a thought. Imagine, if the thought comes and pervades the object outside, what will happen? This object also will become conscious. It run away from my hand. You be very careful in understanding things. Vritti, with the help of instrument of knowledge, pervades the corresponding object, assumes the form of an object, which is vritti vyaptihi. And then that vritti, the presence of consciousness, is what shines. And that consciousness, which shines in the presence of the vritti, is said to be reflected consciousness or manifest consciousness, otherwise called phalam. It's called phalavyaptihi. Then there is jnana, knowledge takes place. So for without vritti vyaptihi, there cannot be something called cognition knowledge. And our vritti vyapti to be there, vritti must come in contact with the corresponding object to be known, for which instrument of knowledge is important. My whole effort is to make you understand why Vedanta Shastram is important. Pravanam, okay? Okay, when the vritti vyapti takes place, what happened? The object is no more non-existent for you. Vritti vyapti results in what? Vritti vyapti removes the avaranam. Vritti vyaptihi removes the avaranam. It's no more non-existent. Before vritti vyaptihi, object is non-existent. After vritti vyaptihi, object is no more non-existent. But what is required now? Object is. But what is that object? For it, phala vyapti is important. In phala vyaptihi, understand, palavyaptihi happens, knowledge happens. So ajnana avrittihi, avarana avrittihi is removed by vritti vyapti. Jnana praptihi takes place by palavyaptihi. Whereas for Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, absolute reality Brahman happens to be the very source of knowledge, a very self. Vritti Vyapti alone is enough, Phala Vyapti is not required. The question comes, if Atma is of the nature of self-effulgence, why do we need Vritti at all? People may question, why do we need vritti? Isn't it? Without vrittihi, vritti vyaptihi, jnanam is not possible. Atma is the source of jnanam. Atma being the source of jnanam, vritti vyaptihi is important. Let me tell you one more thing, important thing. We are all here as human beings. We are all self-conscious beings. And I know I am a self-conscious being. And every one of us knows this fact that we are all self-conscious beings. To know I am a self-conscious being, I don't need a vritti. To know I am a self-conscious being, I don't need a vritti. But I need a vritti to know Aham Brahma Asmi. I the self-conscious being, I am the only consciousness, only truth of everything. To know the identity, okay, to know the non-difference, vritti is a must. For that vritti to rise, Aham Brahma Asmi, Vedanta Mahavakyam is needed. So Vedanta Shastra Pramanam is important for the vritti to assume, thereby to have that akhanda akara vritti jnanam. Aham Brahma Asmi is what? What is akara vritti assumes? We understand what is time-wise limitless, what is object-wise limitless, what is spatially limitless. how this reality consciousness you arrive at is time-wise limitless, how it is object-wise limitless, how it is spatially limitless. When you understand the akhanda vastu. The vritti does assume the akhanda vastu rupam. Vritti assumes akhanda vastu rupam, which is called akhanda akara vrittihi. In fact, vritti assuming the akara of the object is what? Vritti vyaptihi. Vrittehe vishaya akara parinamaha vritti vyaptihi. Vrittehe vishayasya akarasya parinamaha. Vritti assuming the form of an object is vritti vyapti. And that vritti, which has assumed the form of an object, shining in the presence of consciousness is what? Then the consciousness also said to be as a recognizable conscious, manifest one, is said to be what? Manifest, reflected, which is called palavyapti. It means the thought pervaded by consciousness, manifest consciousness, is called palavyaptihi. The palam is a name given to reflection or manifestation of consciousness. Another name. Is it clear now? Why do we need vritti jnanam? To know I am the whole, to know aham brahma asmi. I am a conscious being, you don't need vritti paranama. Vritti vyapti you don't need. But even to know aham brahma asmi, you don't need what? You don't need palavyapti. Palavyapti is not required. Vritti vyapti is required. To know I am, you don't need vritti vyapti. To know aham brahma asmi, you need a vritti vyapti. And what? How do you arrive? The Vedanta Shastra Pramanam helps you understand reality. How? Pramanam helps you arrive at the truth, which is time-wise limitless, spatial limitless, object-wise limitless. Therefore, akhandam. Not limited means what? Finite means khanda. Sakhanda. Akhanda means infinite. Understand the infinite reality in terms of its nature of infinitude, vritti vyapti happens, isn't it? Vritti assumes akhanda akara. Vritti assumes the form of the vastu which is of the nature of infinitude. It's called what? Akhanda akara vrittihi. And for that vritti, palavyapti is not required, because it is not an inert object. Okay? The object of that vritti is not an object of thought, very swarupam of the thought, which is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, palavyapti is not required. Natma jnanam, only vritti vyaptihi, no palavyaptihi. In anatma jnanam, vritti vyapti, palavyapti, both should be there. But even for atma jnanam, why we will need vrittihi? Not to know that I am a conscious being, but to arrive at the fact, I, the conscious being, am the only truth implied by the word Brahma. That's why we say, the reality, Brahma, Atma, is the only source of knowledge. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.